I think that's one of the things we'll be saying when we hit those streets of gold. I made it. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I need to thank somebody. Last Sunday when I was preaching, I used an illustration about three musketeers. And Wednesday, I believe it was, when I came to church, there was somebody gave me a Three Musketeers bar. I don't know who it was, but I want to thank you. Tonight I'll be using an illustration about a steak dinner. Amen. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles tonight. I'm not going to read at the beginning of the message, but I will during the message. And when the first places will light is Psalms 119 and verse 11. Maybe I will go ahead and read that. In this series simply called Daily, that's our theme, Daily. And tonight I'm going to add, I don't want to overload you. I really don't. But what I'm going to talk about... It doesn't need to overwhelm us because it can be a part of what we're already doing, and that is praying and reading our Bibles every day. And let me say this, I'm excited when I hear the talking amongst youth and different ones of how that you've taken that challenge to read the Bible and to pray every day. And I'm excited about that. So what I'm going to cover tonight, it doesn't have to be an undue addition. It can just become a part of that time. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about Bible memorization and worship. And I'm going to try to do both of those this evening. Bible memorization and worship. And the scripture, I'll just go ahead and read just to set the tone. In Psalms 119:11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against it. Let's pray one more time tonight. Father, I covet your inspiration of your spirit upon what is said tonight. Lord, I believe you're at work in our hearts. Lord, turning our hearts wholly to you and completely to you. Lord, I believe there can be but one result, and that is seeing your glory and the manifestation of your presence. Lord, we use the word revival, Lord, and I pray that you would revive us in such a tremendous way, Lord, that it would overshadow anything else that's happening in our world, and that we would just be blessed with an awareness of your presence and power in these last days. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When I talk about these things we do daily, prayer, Bible reading, other things, they used to use the term spiritual disciplines. Disciplines, because you have to discipline yourself to do these things, right? So I want to call them daily disciplines tonight, but daily disciplines are like taking vitamins. You know, some medications may work immediately, but vitamins don't work immediately. The only way vitamins work is when you take them over the long run. That's the only way they work. You can't say, I've taken one, it's going to help me. No. It's one today and one tomorrow, one the next day, and all of that added together is what helps us. You can't say, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go home tonight and take the whole bottle of vitamins. I'll get it all done at once. Yes, and I'll be visiting in the hospital. You'll have liver problems pretty quick, like, or some other kind of problems. You just can't take one big dose all at one time. The only way you get the value of vitamins is if you're consistent in taking them daily over a long period of time. And therefore, spiritual disciplines are like vitamins. You can't be inconsistent. There has to be a consistency. And you can't be impatient because it takes a long time. I don't know if you've ever been there and you know, a certain situation the doctor recommended. It's a supplement. It's not really a vitamin. And I really hate to go back to the doctor because I know one of the questions he's going to ask me is, did you take that consistently every day? And you know, sometimes we have these huge problems spiritually, and we're always looking for that momentarily big fix. You know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes I wonder if the doctor isn't asking us, did you read your Bible every day? Did you pray every day? Not in a sense of you earn points. I read the Bible today, it's a star. You know, God puts a gold star on your chart in heaven. He read his Bible. I'm not talking about winning points. I'm talking about the effect that it has upon us to read our Bible and pray every day. Amen. And, you know, I have found that children's songs can be so helpful. I wasn't going to do this, but I think I will. You know, we get too big for children's songs, but they have some tremendous messages. Amen. Ethan, can you help me? Is Ethan back there? Where you at? Come help me up here real quick. Do you know the song, Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day? Do you know that? Don't tell me they don't teach it to the kids anymore. Do kids know that anymore? Come on, kids. Do you know that? Do you know that? Okay. Come ahead. Won't you guys come ahead? Come here. We'll do this. All right. How many of you adults know that? Come up here and face them. I have to face them all the time. Look, just look. Any other kids want to help me? Come ahead. Come on. Hurry. Anybody? Come on, Ella. Yeah. I think I'm a little old for this class. Let's try that. Read your Bible, pray every. Help them out. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll what?
And you'll grow.
What?
Grow.
What?
Grow.
And you'll do what?
And you'll grow.
Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow.
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 Amen. I'm glad we got the bus fixed. Amen. Thank you for helping. You know, we get beyond that song. Isn't there so much truth? And what was the defining, qualifying phrase? Read your Bible, pray every day. We teach that to children in young Sunday school and children's church. At least I think we're still teaching them that song. But it's important to us as adults that we get that message. Was that Andrew or Hannah that said that that time? We was driving down the road in the minivan. One of those two said, Dad, am I getting smaller? Am I getting smaller? We couldn't figure out what they were saying. They were still in their car seat. What it had, we had a big eruption of our schedule for quite a few days, and we had quit having family times of reading the Bible and praying. And finally, when I got out of them, they were afraid they were getting smaller because they had taken that song, don't read your Bible, pray to it, and you'll do what? You'll shrink. And they thought they took that literally, and so they asked me, am I getting smaller? But what if we could see our souls sometimes? Would they be getting smaller would they be shrinking? Amen. I didn't mean to take that much time, but I just want to stress it is in the daily involvement. Let's talk about Bible memorization. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Did you know in the mid-1400s, what great thing was invented? How many knows that's changed our world in the mid-1400s? What was it? The printing press. What happened just a few decades later that changed who we are tonight? Anyone know? Using the printing press as a tool. The Reformation. Protestantism as we have today. Why did you mention all that? Because as a result of the printing press and the Reformation, guess what happened? Common people got the Bible. Up to that time, if you went to your church, there'd be like the communion table up front in front of the pulpit. There would be one Bible for that church, and it would be chained so nobody would steal it. That's the only Bible. And it was written in Latin. And most people couldn't read. One Bible. Can you imagine if we only had this Bible here? This is a pulpit Bible. Don't steal it. It costs quite a bit. It's a special pulpit Bible. But if we only had this one Bible, and it was in Hebrew and Greek, and it was chained up here, and none of you had Bibles to take home with you, how would that feel? How would that be? And so it's a great thing. that we've had the printing press. It's a great thing that we all have our personal Bible. But did you know there's a bad consequence to it? Did you know there's a bad consequence of having a Bible to be able to read it? Guess what began to happen? That as a blessing as it was to have a Bible that you could read, there was a downside to it. You know what the downside was? People quit memorizing Scripture. When there was only one Bible, they would have teaching, and everybody would listen intently, and they would memorize what was said because they knew when they went home there'd be no Bible. So at church, they memorized that, for God so loved the world. The whole society was about that. You may think it's great, and it is, to be able to, on any subject, to type it into a search engine and Google it and get information. But you know what's happened to folks? Since they know it's readily accessible, they make no effort at all to set things in their memory, because they think to themselves, even if they don't express it, they think, all I've got to do is search for it when I need that information again. We have become a nation that does not absorb things and memorize things, and it has affected us in the church. Folks do not memorize Scripture as they used to. But in the challenge tonight, I would like us to see one of the greatest spiritual inputs in our lives is Scripture memorization. It's not just for primary Sunday school. It's not just for the verse or two that we learn at children's camps and this and that. I'm talking about one of the greatest inputs you can have in your life as a Christian to take the challenge to memorize Scripture. Bible reading's great. Bible reading's tremendous. Bible reading is helpful. Bible reading is commendable, but it's still not the same thing as two other things: Bible study and Bible memorization. Now, here's the wonderful thing. You're reading your Bibles. That's great. That's wonderful, because it's not the same as Bible study. But you don't know what to study if you haven't read it. And you don't know what to memorize if you haven't read it. And so what I'm saying is, this can be an addition to your Bible reading. And I'm not going to deal with this Bible study tonight. But as you read your Bible, what we're going to see in a moment, there are going to be scriptures that leap out at you. There's going to be verses where God speaks to you. And what the challenge is tonight, take those verses and memorize them and make it a part of your heart. Bible memorization is one of the greatest daily habits you can have. Now, I know I've heard this both when I taught Bible school, and I've heard it pastoring in different places. When you begin to talk about Bible memorization, I have folks all the time that will speak up and say, I just can't memorize Scripture. I just can't do it. It just doesn't stick. You ever heard that? And I've heard the same folks in the foyer say, in 1956, this player was a rookie. He was traded to this team on this day. He hit this far, and they run down the stats. I'm standing amazed at their memory, but they can't memorize Scripture. You don't understand, Pastor. I can't memorize Scripture. You mention any handgun, they'll tell you the caliber. They'll tell you all the different bullets that thing will fire. They'll tell you the trajectory. They'll tell you the velocity. They'll tell you when it was first made. Right? I can't memorize Scripture. How do you make pink walnut cake? And boy, they'll spill down. I mean, they know every ingredient. They've got it down to it. I can't memorize Scripture. Walmart has a sale on this and that this week, and Target has a sale on this and that this week, and they got 50% off, and they've got 15. And if you go, you know, we can memorize things. I can't memorize Scripture, Pastor. I'm too young. You've got that video game. You can play for 45 minutes, and you know wherever villain is, whatever they have today. You know wherever secret path is, wherever warp hole is, or whatever they have today. It's been a long time since I played, back when they had the Nintendo, the Mario Brothers. That's about the last time I played. But you've got everything memorized. It's the only way you're successful. You know where it's all. But you can't memorize Scripture, right? Someone said right. How many believes we can memorize? Right? You say, on top of my other schoolwork? On top of I want to tell you this. I'm here to encourage. I'm your pastor. Do you know we're entering into tax time? How many knows that? On top of figuring taxes, on top of everything else that we have to do, memorize scripture. Well, here's the point. Look at our verse again. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do you hide it in your heart? Do you just carry your Bible around? Is that how you hide it in your heart? Do you just do a search when you're looking for a particular thought you have from scripture? How are you going to hide it in your heart? Help me out here. Somebody help me. How are you going to hide scripture in your heart? You're going to do what? You're going to memorize it. You may have to meditate on it first, but you're going to memorize it. You see, Bible memorization, its greatest benefit is not that it exercises the mind. Look at the verse. The greatest benefit of Bible memorization is not the exercise of the mind, but the way it affects the heart. When you memorize scripture, it changes the way you think about things. It changes the way you feel about things. It changes the way you desire about things. Because notice the connection. Thy word have I hid in my heart. You got to memorize it. But if I hide it in my heart changes. I don't sin against thee. Something changes, not in my brain by Bible memorization. Something changes in my heart. You know, I got to think about this, and I'm sure you're just like me. I don't know what they do today, but when you get in that young teenage years and you know, the love notes and stuff, if there was somebody you really liked, they could write you several pages on their big chief, whatever. They could write you several page note, and you would read that thing with such intensity. Someone could take it away from you, and you would know every word that was in that. Isn't that right? Why? Because you love them. See, this isn't a slavish duty. We're not memorizing chemical element charts or even times table. We're reading something that has to do with our, and memorizing something that has to do with our relationship with God. So, I've got to move forward, and I've got to move forward in a hurry. You may ask, well, Pastor, what verses do we select for memorization? Now, there are lists. In some Bibles, they'll tell you salvation or the hope, and they'll give you a list of scriptures to memorize. And so I'm going to do this a little bit differently than that. Let me give you some hints on what scriptures you could memorize. First of all, select ones, scriptures or verses, select ones you've marked while reading through the Bible. Now, not everybody's a Bible marker, but some folks underline and put a little note there. Amen. Let me see. Is anyone, this isn't a trick question. Do you mark verses? Okay. Those are good verses to memorize because that's a verse that spoke to you. That's a verse that meant something to you. So select verses that you've marked by reading through the Bible. This is important. Secondly, you could select verses that you can use against Satan when he attacks. What did Jesus do when he was tempted in the wilderness and Satan attacked him? What did he say? Plato said, no. What did he say? Socrates said, no, what did he say? It is written. Memorize scriptures that helps you when Satan comes against you. You good for nothing, rotten, you're not worthy to even be called a Christian. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Amen. God doesn't love you. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Memorize scriptures that you can use against Satan. Another hint or suggestion. Select ones you can use against reoccurring fears, doubts, and anxieties. Here's the problem. Or not the problem. Here's the situation. You know your problems. You know the battles you face. You know the difficulty. Don't you believe that the scripture has addressed that? Memorize scriptures that deal with that. You have a trouble with fear. Let me see if I can think of something about fear. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. You have a problem. You're always beating yourself up. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. You have anxiety. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You can select scriptures that will help you when you're being tempted by the flesh. Tempted by the flesh. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life. And then it goes on to say, if you do that, you're going to be destroyed. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Memorize scriptures that help you deal with those battles of temptation. Here's another thing. Select verses you can use when sharing the gospel to unbelievers. But if thou wilt confess with thy mouth and believe with thine heart the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. And all the scriptures that you can memorize to help you share the gospel. And that's something we haven't talked about yet, but we're interested in sharing the gospel with unbelievers. There's no more powerful way to share the gospel to unbelievers than to give them the Word of God. You can select scriptures that are the source of your beliefs. I remember as a teenager, I'm trying to hurry tonight, but I remember as a teenager being asked about some of my particular beliefs at high school, the public school, and I'm embarrassed to this day because my answer was, well, my church believes. I determined it wasn't going to be that way anymore. When I was asked by my beliefs, I wanted to give an answer from Scripture. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that dwelleth in you. Have Scriptures. Amen. Then select scriptures that will help you answer. Well, I just said that. I'll put those two things together. Select scriptures you can use in worshiping God. Scriptures you can use in worshiping God. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So many scriptures. Select scriptures that you can use. Many of you, if not most, are involved in some type of ministry. Teaching a Sunday school class, working with the children, maybe your other types of ministry. Select scriptures that you can use in ministry. Now let's deal with this, and I'm going to deal with this objectively just a little bit. But how do you memorize scripture? And there's things we could talk about, association and yada, yada, yada. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you some really quick methods. First of all, I call it the progressive overlap and review. It's just a progressive thing. Let's take John 3:16. I've decided today I'm going to memorize John 3:16. So I'm going to start with the first phrase that we can logically mark it off. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. I got that. That he gave his only begotten son. Well, go back and take what you just memorized and add that to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now I got that. So let's pick up the next part. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Now let's add that to the rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Amen. But now we got that, so let's add the next part. But have everlasting life. But have everlasting. Now let's add that to that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting. Well, I've got that, so let's go on to the next verse. Do that through the second verse. Now this is the second day. So on the second day, I review the first verse, I memorize the second, and I put the two together and go over them. Now we're on day three. Let's go to the next verse. Oh, I didn't give it to you? Oh, I did. Okay, so now on the third day, we memorize and you select. Maybe you're going to do a verse every 3 days or you're going to do two verses a day, whatever. But it's this progressive and overlap. Now I've got a whole chapter memorized. And so what am I going to do? Every day I'm going to review the chapter I got memorized and worked on the new one. Okay, and I'm not going to talk right now about what you do past that. But that's a simple way of just continually adding and review. Adding and review. Amen. Now, let me give you a few more things. So how do you do that practically tomorrow? Well, one way is the old-fashioned way. Just open up your Bible and use your finger there and shut your eyes and look up. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. I mean, I'm not making fun of that. How many's ever memorized scripture like that? Have you done that? Okay, that's great. Another way is, I couldn't find any, it's been a while. Another great way is, this is old school. This is when you had to use a writing utensil. Anyone remember that when you use writing utensils? We called them pens and pencils. Index cards. This is one of the ways I really got started, but it really works good because you can take them with you. And what do? You just put the reference on the front, John 3:16 on the back. For God so loved the world, put the verse, and you put it in your pocket, okay? And you're at work, And it's time for break, so you just pull it out and take a look at it and cover it. You're getting gas at the gas pump, you pull it out, look at it, memorize it. Amen. You're doing laundry and you're on your way to the laundry room, you pull it out and look at it. That index card, and then they begin to pile up, and then you have to use rubber bands for different chapters and things. That works great, okay? Very good way. But most of us have moved beyond that. We need another aid. Now, I want to share with you tonight, and maybe take me a moment to just get it up here. I looked at numerous different possibilities before lighting on this. Okay, have we switched? Here we go. Let's see if this is going to work. Can you see that? Okay, the one I finally lit upon is called Scripture Typer. Is that large enough for you guys to see out there? Can you see that? Here's a wonderful thing. You get to put the verses in. So here's my verses. Here's the ones I've been working on lately. And you have different collections, different chapters. And here's what it looks like. You go, you got your verses, and here's where it gets neat. You got three possibilities for memorizing. If I click on one verse here, and I'm not going to do it here, but you can, when you get ready to see if you know it, you can see where it says type it. You can type and see if you've got it memorized. But also, you might have seen the microphone earlier, but you can go to that and see the record and play. You can just do it verbally. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then you can play it back and see if you got it correct. That's all great and wonderful. I don't use either of those. I just prefer the old-fashioned with a new device. Whoops, I hit the wrong one. Let me go back. No, I didn't. That was correct. I prefer the flashcards, and this is new here, not memorized yet. I got it. That's just a new update. But you got John 2:1, and you just flip your finger, and there it is. And so you can go back and forth, John 2:1, and then flip your finger. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana in Galilee, and you can see if you got it memorized. When you do, you just flip your finger up, and there's the next verse, like this. This is really neat. Here's how it works. Let's say you're ready for a new section. So you hit my collection. You can put in the collection name, whatever you want to put. Save it. And then you can start adding verses. And the way you add verses here, just click new verse. I'm not in the collection I just named. I'm just trying to hurry here. But let's say you want to do chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And you click down here, import verse. And then it says, do you want them to be imported as individual verses or all in one segment? Well, of course, you want individual verses. You don't memorize the whole chapter at once. They're importing them. And do you remember what chapter, book of Bible I said? What's it mean? Yeah, I'm talking about memorization. I don't even remember. That's good. And so there they are, and you're ready to go to work. Hit up here, flashcard, and there you're ready to go to work. Okay, and again, this is called, and I know we're individuals, we like different ones, and there are different ones, but I looked at a whole lot of them, and I really thought that this was the best with the best futures. And again, that's called Scripture Typer, Scripture Typer. Praise the Lord. I remember started memorizing Scripture in Royal Rangers. We had Royal Rangers. And then I've told you a story. I'm not going to go over again. When I got called to preach, my dad gave me a list. And that really got me started. Now, I want to switch to the next topic, and we're not going to take long, but it's a real and a unique challenge. I want to talk about daily worship. In Acts chapter 2, this was our target verses for our whole series. It says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Remember, this is daily praising God. Daily praising God. Daily praising God. You know, worship is a word that covers a huge amount of territory, and I'm not going to do that tonight. Worship covers everything from communion to giving in the offering. That's worship. Worship's a lifestyle. Worship's an attitude. Worship is obedience. Our work can be worship. Even doing school can be worship. Praising, just saying hallelujah, hallelujah, that can be worship. And so it's this huge, huge thing to cover, but I'm going to only cover one particular area of worship. And I'm going to give us this working definition tonight. Worship is verbal acknowledging of and attributing to God who He is and what He has done. Verbal. So I'm going to focus on that part of worship. Verbal acknowledging of and attributing to God who He is and what He's done. See, acknowledging is when I am aware that He is holy. To attribute that holiness to God is when I verbally say, God, You are holy. I acknowledge He's love. I attribute it by saying, God, You are love. Let me put another way to say, talk about this kind of worship to make it even more simple. The worship I'm talking about tonight is focusing on God and verbalizing it. Focusing on God and verbalizing it. Now you see, we usually think of worship happening in public, what we've just done in this service tonight, and that is worship. We think of worship as tied to worship service. And it's very difficult for us to get our minds and our hearts wrapped around the fact that there can be private worship. Private worship. I want to talk about a worship tonight that's just between you and God on a private level. And there are many, many scriptures that I could turn to, but I want to turn to one of my favorite psalms, Psalms 34. Does anyone here still remember when Brother Linderman used to read Psalm 34? A few of you, not too many can remember that. He would get so worshipful and moved every time he read it. But Psalm 34, here it goes, just three verses of it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now look at verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let me ask you something. Are you at church at all time? It's going to be pretty spooky if I come here at 5:30 in the morning. You're here. How many is at church all the time? At all time. How many are continually at church? Well, he says he worships at all times. He continually blesses the Lord. How does that happen if you can't be at church at all the time? A lot of the time you're by yourself or you're in your own world. The only way he could do that is not just worship in public when he's at church, but he did it by worshiping in private as well. I'm talking about using your mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We see how you do that at church. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Glory to God. We do that at church, but at all times, that includes the large portion of our lives in private. And so when he says at all times, that's private. Now, thank God it's not just private, because look at verse 3 one more time. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now, that's public. That's public. Amen. So worship is both private and public. Amen. You see, I am concerned that many people no longer worship in public. I'm concerned about the format of so much church and the way we do things, because it's become a spectatorship. Folks come and they're spectators of what goes on, the production. Worship was never meant to be spectating. Worship from the beginning has been participatory. You participate. It's something to participate in. And so I am concerned about public worship, but this is real unique. It's unique to me. It's something I've thought and prayed a lot about. I think if we could get the understanding that worship begins in private, I think it would be different. If we could start, I will bless the Lord at all times privately, then I think we could say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name. Don't you like those times when we're exalting the Lord together? Now, I want you to think, now we need church. I don't have time to go into all those qualifications, but I want you to know you can have those times privately as well, worshiping the Lord, focusing on God, and verbalizing. And so the challenge tonight, the second challenge tonight, is worship the Lord daily. Worship the Lord daily. Let's go back to that definition real quick so I can bring it together. Worship is a verbal acknowledgement of and attributing to God who he is and what he has done. It's focusing on God and verbalizing it. Again, verse 1. Amen. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. I want you to think of something. I'm going to try to make this very succinct here. What's the difference between the praying you've been asking us to do and this, the worship? What's the difference, Brother Hurst? What's the difference of praying and worship? Let me tell you the difference. In praying, we're directing God's attention to us and our needs. In worship, we're directing our attention to God and his greatness. Think about that. Prayer, we direct God's attention to us. Lord, don't you see the trouble I'm having? Don't you see the need I have? Don't you see what I'm struggling in? God, I need this. I have this. I've got this problem. Lord, help my neighbor. Help. See, in prayer, we're directing God's attention to us. But in worship, we're directing our attention to God. There's the difference. Now, let's put this all together. You say, now, Brother Hurst, when you were talking about prayer and you took the Lord's Prayer, you said we ought to begin with hallowed be thy name. Here's the wonderful thing. This thing about private worship can be a part of our prayer and should be a part of our prayer. As in the Lord's Prayer, before we ever ask God to begin to do things, before we ever direct God's attention to our need, in prayer we ought to begin with worship and directing our attention to God. Hallowed be thy name comes a long time before give us this day our daily bread. Begin with worship. So here's some suggestion. When can you have private worship? Number one, at the start of your prayer. At the start of your prayer, before you begin to ask God for anything and share anything with God about your needs and situations, begin just praising him. Even if it's as simple as, I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to worship him. Here's another suggestion. You can have times of private worship by singing. I know some of you aren't in the choir, but you sure can sing in the shower. You can sing when you're out in the workshop, right? How many would just be, this would be real brave, but you've never sang a solo, but sometimes you get alone and you just sing. No one's honest. I'm changing the sermon right now to, okay, thank you, Brother Cruz. Keep singing in private there. Just joking. What a wonderful opportunity to worship. Let me give you part of that suggestion. Worship God as you sing. This is something I've done. It used to be just books. Ever thought about this? Your quiet time, your private time. Keep a songbook near you. Church people used to be taught this all the time, but we're not taught this anymore. Hold on to it better than that. Keep a songbook handy even in your home. Don't steal one from the church. But anyway, keep a songbook handy at home. And it comes time to pray, we want to worship. Get a songbook and just open it up and begin to look for some song that seems to bless your heart. And sing that thing. It's a form of worship. And as you sing, focus on what it's saying about God. What in that song catches your attention and calls you to think about God? Amen. Sing. Amen. If you're a musician and the instrument's handy. Now, we don't think about this as worship. If you're a musician, sit down and play that thing. Play that song. But here's the difference. This is what makes it worship. And I'm talking to someone lately about this. We all sing, and we like to sing, but what is tugging at your heart? Direct it towards God. Understand that singing can be worship. It's not that you think you sound good because you're in the shower in the workshop and it's rebounding off the close quarter. Boy, that sounds good until you put your heart into it. How great thou art. No. At that moment of singing, let your heart go up to God in worship. Talking about private worship. Not only in singing, by the way, select songs that deal with God's faithfulness and his attributes. Let me tell you something else. I don't much use this anymore, but again, I'm not going to show you, but you can get good apps. It's got a lot of worship songs with you. And just take it there. Don't get sidetracked by the other apps on your phone, but you can hit that. Oh, I got one that's called Hymns. Hit that, whatever your worship preference is, And by the way, that's always a good measure. If you can't worship God to it, if it doesn't cause your heart to go upward to Him, it's probably not very profitable and helpful to your spiritual life. But I click on that, and I go through that list of songs, and there's one. And I hit that, and I'll sing a little bit of it. But not just singing, but respond to singing. I know that many of you listen to Christian music. That's great. That's great. At home, in your car, in your ear, with your earphones. But instead of just responding to the aesthetics of the music, oh, I like that group. I like that artist. I like that kind of music. I like the way they did that. Instead of responding to the aesthetics, respond to what that song says about God. You know, just respond to aesthetics is kind of, I like that. Or you tap your fingers or you tap your foot. That's just aesthetic response to music. Go beyond that. If it's really a song, if it's really talking about God, let your soul respond and worship God. Respond to the singing. What in your soul is stimulated by that song? Respond. Amen. Let me give you another idea, and I'll cut it short in a moment. But another possibility for private worship is when you're driving. A lot of you spend a lot of time in your car. Did you know you can have church in your car? How many's ever just started worshiping God going down the highway? Now, I've told you before, but I never can get away from those years ago in heavy traffic in St. Louis, coming into St. Louis, and I looked at that fella next to me, and he had the steering wheels up on his hands like this, and he's going like this with his hands, and tears are running down his face, and he's just worshiping God. Oh, hallelujah. You know it's going to get better. How's it going to get better? Because they're working on those self-driving cars. And you're going to be able to head to work and set the destination to work, and you can just worship God. Hands free. Woo! Worship God when you're driving. Worship God after a moment of meditation. Have you really read the Psalms? What it says about God? Only to sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth hath no higher bliss. Meditate on God. I don't know if I'll ever deal with that on a Sunday night, but it's a lost art. Just meditate. And as you meditate, when it hits you, the greatness of God, begin to worship Him. Let me give you one more thing, and I'll leave it to you and your imagination how that daily you can worship Him. Respond to His creative beauty. Instead of just saying, wow, that is a beautiful sunrise. Say, that's a beautiful sunrise. And it didn't come about by the Big Bang. It came about because we got a creator God. And great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need. Amen. Respond to nature. It might be in a deer stand, Jim. Amen. Look at the beauty and glorify God. Make no mistake, the world would like to tell you, God is the beauty and God is the creation. No, sir. God isn't nature and God isn't the beauty. God's the one that created the beauty and created the nature. Amen. Before we conclude tonight, let me, and this is going to be really hard because you can't just affect these things, but let me just kind of give you an example from my personal life. Oh, God, you are great. You are mighty. There's none like unto you. There's none beside you. There's none except you. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I'm afraid of thy judgments. Oh, God, you're so kind and merciful and gracious. And then I always like to include two things. And these, to me, these are the major attributes of God that everything else comes in under. I always like to draw attention. I'm talking about acknowledging and attributing. God, you are holy. How many believe that? God, you are righteous. God, you are pure. God, you are light, and in you there is no darkness. God, you're holy. And then I like to begin to say, God, your love. Oh, how you love us, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Oh, you begin to worship God. And there's something, and you know, it was in the message this morning, but almost every time I pray, I put it in there. I say, God, it is you that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. You know what I'm acknowledging? I'm acknowledging that He is creator. And that's why I like to move on. You are God that made the heavens above and the earth earth beneath and the seas and all the God. And I like to just focus a while on how God is the creator. We need to focus on that in a world that says everything just happened by chance and all of this, in a world that doesn't believe in God. How many still believes in God the creator? He's not a thought. He's not a philosophy. He's not an idea. He's not an impersonal mover. Amen. He is the mighty creator, personal God. And then I like to move on how he's not only God creator, he is God redeemer. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. Amen. Worship is a focus on God and who he is. Amen. We are warned by Jesus of vain repetition. Not repetition, but vain repetition. Thinking you're going to be heard just because you've repeated something. But to repeat something, Jesus was never against that. When he prayed in the garden and went to the disciples, when he went back, the scripture said, and he prayed the same words. He spoke against vain repetition. But I want to tell you something. There is something valuable in worship and repetition. Not as a mantra, even not to zone out, saying the same thing over and over so you can zone out, but repetition for the sake of focus. I mean, we can zoom right over these things about God and never think about them and never process them in our heart. But sometimes in worship, if we would just slow down and repeat and say, God, you are holy. You are holy. You see, I don't know if that's right. Is it not? What are the very angels in heaven, the cherubim, what are they saying? Do they just say holy and that's it and they're done? No, even the very cherubim, when they saw the Lord, they said, holy, holy, holy. Why don't you try that tomorrow morning? Holy, 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 holy. Holy is the Lord. Mighty is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Amen. With our mouth, we focus on God and we verbalize it. Tomorrow you will breathe 23,000 breaths. Every one of you basically in here, tomorrow you'll breathe 23,000 breaths. How many of those are you going to expend in worship to our mighty God? Amen. Would you come, music? I'm done. And going back to Bible memorization, it's not so difficult when we take this for what it is indeed, the Word of our God. How many believe that? This is the Word of our God. So the challenge tonight, not to be overwhelming and to overload, but somehow to put within your daily time with the Lord, or sometime during your day, to take the challenge to memorize Scripture. I thought of tonight offering some reward, especially to our young people, or something like that, and maybe we'll work on that. But it's a wonderful thing to memorize Scripture. It gives such power to you. I can't tell you the number of times that I'm thinking clear back to as a young man, when I've been in spiritual battle, that the only way to victory was to quote those scriptures. I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something about Satan. I know I need to quit, but let me tell you something about Satan. He comes against you, and he's attacking you. You're not going to be able to say him, Satan, you're attacking me, but could you hold on a minute? Hold on, Satan. I want to run to my bedroom and get my Bible. How many thinks he's going to wait for you to run to bed? Well, give me a moment, Satan. Let me find that Bible app. Hold on. It's right here. What's that verse? Let me do a search on that. You think that's the way it's going to work? No, but I'm telling you, when you come under the attack of Satan and you got it. Wait a minute. Where do you got it? It might have entered here, but where do you got it? You got it here. And he comes against you. You're ready. Hallelujah. Oh, it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. How many believes that tonight? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. How many's ready to do battle? Yeah, I'll see who read that. Give them the bayonet. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a family of God, a body of believers that loves you, that rises to the challenge. Lord, thank you that you're moving in our hearts. God, I felt you in the preaching, your majesty, your glory, your greatness. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let me say one more thing. I won't get paid any more today for overtime, but can I say one more thing? Please, please look around. A big problem with the world is too much of it is drawing attention to man, man's needs, man's problems, man's situation. We need a revival of turning our attention to God, God alone. Isn't he great? Isn't he wonderful? Amen. Just come and pray tonight. Would you do it? Come and pray tonight. The Lord, as you pray, listen to what Trish is singing. He gives strength to me as I worship Him. Jesus breaks the bands
as I raise my hands.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He gives glorious.
Oh, He gives glorious
victory.
Oh, yes, yes. Strength to me
as I worship Him,
as I worship Him,
and my heart is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands with